that he's going to share it with us right now. Otto Gonzalez, come on up.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear
you. Good. All right. Oh, the paper. All right. Can I pray a little bit? Is that good? All right, well, close your eyes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this loving day, wonderful day. Thank you, God, because you are our Father and you are powerful, you are almighty. Thank you because you have made us become your children and we're born again, Father. Thank you because we have your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you, Father, because we're saved, we're justified, we're redeemed, we're sanctified. And I give you thanks also, Father, because you are always with us and you work in us. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for these words that you have given unto us, Father, your whole word, so that we may delight in it and guard it in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that all that all your word may be sunk into our hearts like a sponge in us to water, Father, that it may be in us and they may dwell in us. And I give you thanks because you take away from us and any other any sadness, any anger, whatever's in our hearts that is bothering us. And I pray that all of that may be removed from our hearts so that we may sow your word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you thanks. Amen. All right. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. All right. I have a Spanish Bible, so I might take a little longer because I'm going to use my phone. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And I have the privilege, thanks to Charlie, thanks to the board for allowing me to teach. And I'm going to be teaching on one spirit, okay, like Ephesians 4 says. But let's start with Acts chapter 1, and we are going to start in chapter 1, verse 4. You guys there? And it says, I'm going to be holding my phone because I don't have one. And being assembled together with them, commanded Jesus, right, to them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, right, which said he, ye have heard of me. Okay, so they were to wait there, right? And wait for a promise, right? All right. Now, let's keep reading. And let's jump to verse 8, okay? But ye shall receive what?
Power.
Right? I like that word. After the Holy Ghost, right? The pneumahagion has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and out and unto the what? Or uttermost parts of the earth. So everywhere, right? We can see here the plan of God is that he wanted to have children, not only in Jerusalem, right? But everywhere, right? In the whole entire earth, right? But I wanna touch something important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. So we know that they needed to wait on for something, for the promise, right? But I want to see the scriptures. I want you guys to see in the scriptures. Where does this promise come from? Where does it come from? Okay, so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 18, yeah. You guys there? All right, give me a second. I got to go there. We have to understand that there's a giver and there's a gift, right? Okay, so now let's read in verse 18. For through him, right, we both have access. Here in the context, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles, right? So both Jews and Gentiles have access through Christ, right? By one Spirit unto the Father, right? Okay, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All right, so here it tells us, in this verse it clearly, and in the context, it tells us, right, that God is God, right? And then Jesus Christ, it's another person, right? And that the Holy Spirit, right, proceeds from God. Does that understand? Okay. Now let's look at another one. And this might be a little bit difficult to understand, but 1 Corinthians chapter 8, sorry if I'm going too fast. I just have a lot. In verse 5. You guys there? 1 Corinthians 8:5. And I might mention in Spanish. Not in Spanish, but I might refer myself to the Spanish because I think it's a little bit sometimes more clear. But it says, For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, right? Fake ones, right? It says in number 6, but to us there is but one, how many?
One God,
the Father of whom are all things. So in the Spanish version, this says that everything, let me go to it real fast, okay? In Spanish, it says, there's one God from whom all things proceed. So all things come from one God. That's very clear, right? Okay. Verse 6, right? Okay. And we in Him. And then it says, and one Lord Christ, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. This is what it says in the King James. But in the Spanish, when it clearly separates that all things proceed from God, in the second part, when it talks about Jesus, in the Spanish Bible, it says that all things are through Him. It's different, right? Because all things proceed from God, but we have those things because of who? Of Jesus. It's different, right? Okay, so that's what I wanted you guys to understand, that what we have is because everything proceeds from God, right? From one God, but it's thanks to who? Jesus the mediator, right? Okay, that's clear, I understand. Okay, all right, let's go now to the book of Acts again. And we're going to go to this administration where it started at the grace administration, chapter 2, okay? Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to read the verses of when the apostles received the Holy Spirit, right? For the first time and then with new birth, okay? And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, right? Just like Jesus had told them previously, right? And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind. This reminds me of a song. There's a song that it's a kind of rock and roll. I don't know. It's in the song in the album Unplugged by Scott Powell. I don't know. There's a song that says, "By a rushing mighty wind." Okay, let's go. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, right? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. 4. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. Well, I wanted to read this because part of this whole Spirit thing can be like very confusing, and we don't know rightly divide the word, right? If we don't know that there's an administrations, right? Because there's a lot of people I've heard from people, other Christians, that they claim and they say that the manifestations were only given to the apostles, and that we shouldn't do those. We shouldn't speak in tongues. That we shouldn't interpret, right? That the apostles were the only holy ones, right? Worthy of having that power. And that's not true, right? Because from this point on, God started His family, right? And this was the beginning of this administration in which we live in, which is the administration of what? Grace, right? Just like my daughter. Okay. All right. So now let's jump from chapter 2. Well, same chapter, but let's go to verse 38. Okay. So in verse 38, now, this is an important clue verse, okay? Key verse, sorry. And it says, then Peter said unto them, right? If you guys know the context, they speak in tongues, and there's a lot of Jews right there. And they're all like, oh, these guys must be drunk, right? And then Peter stands up along with the 11, right? They were hiding before him, but now they received Holy Spirit, right? And they stand up, and what does he do? He starts preaching the word, right? Okay. So this is the context of this. But then it says, Let's read from verse 37 so we understand everything. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In the Spanish Bible, this word means touched. Like they were like touched by what Peter has said. Okay? In their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is Peter's response. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, right, for the remission of sins. I'm not covering that part. I'm covering this side. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, right, the Holy Spirit, right? Yes, there's two different words. Maybe most of you guys know them, right? The dekomai and the lambano, right? Here's the three things, right? We have to repent, and then the dekomai, and then the lambano. And that's what I wanted to expand more into, right? Because there's a lot of Christians that don't know this, right? When Paul went to Ephesus, I recall, there's a lot of verses I wanted to touch, but I don't think I have time. But he went to Ephesus, right? And he asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit, and they said no, right? We've only have been baptized with water, right? Remember? Okay. Oh, that's why I wanted to touch this, because there's a lot of Christians that are, how do you say, defeated, right? And the adversary plays games with them because they don't know the power that God has given to them, right? And this is what God gave us, a Holy Spirit power. Okay, so now let's go to John 14. But before that, I want to go to John 14, verse 16. Okay? I don't want to keep going. I got to touch something else before. And it says in John 14, 16, this is Jesus, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you temporarily? Forever. That's something different, right? Forever. 17, even the Spirit of truth, right? The truth is what sets you free, right? Whom the world cannot receive, the carnal, right? Well, yeah. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be where?
In you.
Okay. And then this is my favorite verse. When I started learning about the word, this verse would make me cry. This one is in 18. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Not in English, but when I read it in the Spanish, because I'm a Spanish speaker over here. If you guys read it, this word comfortless in the Spanish, it means orphan.
How did you know? You know, okay, there we go.
It says orphan. It means, and you guys know what's an orphan, right? Someone that doesn't have parents. And that's how we were in the world, right? We had earthly parents, but we didn't have a God, right? So this verse was like shocking to me, because I was like, oh man, God wants to be, right? He wants to be my father, right? And this is what Jesus was telling people. You will not be orphans. You will have a father, right? That will never leave you, forsake you. Isn't that beautiful? And yep. Okay. Now you can tell why it made me cry. Because I was like, oh God. Just the history behind is because my mom raised me by herself, and I didn't have a father. I know him. I talk to him once in a while, but he wasn't really there, you know, like he was there, but not there. So that's why I was like, God, now I have you. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. Otherwise, I'm going to be crying. Now let's go to 1 Peter 1:23. There's something else with this new, with this spirit that was given unto us. It says, being born, how? Again, and I like this word because this word means, it's the Greek word anagenao, which means born, not here, but where do you think? Born from above, right? It's made out of two words, born and then from above. So we're born from above, right? Because we were born here, right? We have the flesh, the body. But spiritually, right? Our citizenship is where?
heaven. That's why we're born again from above, right? So, and let's keep reading. Being born again, not of this spirit that we have is what? Not corruptible, seed, but of what? Incorruptible. So it will never go away. It will never fade, right? It will always be there, like Jesus said. It will be with you forever. All right, let's keep reading. Everything is vain understood, right? All right, now let's jump to chapter. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. ¿Qué pasa, nanay? All right. So now that we covered, right, why they had to wait, where did this gift proceed from, and why that it's a new birth, right, that it's incorruptible, and that it was going to be with us forever. Now let's take a look at what else is in this big package that we have. Okay? And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And there's three key points that I like to mention here. But as we read, I'll let you know. Let me turn in my Spanish Bible, because this is where I have all my notes running in my Bible. Okay. So 1 Corinthians, it says, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, right? You guys know that this word, right? It's pneumatical, which is spiritual matters, right? Brethren, I will not have you what? That's one of the key points that I want to mention. God does not want us ignorant of this humongous power, right? And things that He has given to us along with the Spirit, right? So He doesn't want us ignorant. He wants us to understand, and not only to understand, but to put it to work in use, right? So let's keep reading. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, right? Carried unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. There's something here. The thing is, Corinth is in Greece, right? And Greeks has a lot of, you guys know about Greek mythology, right? There's a lot of different gods, right? There's a god for lightning, a god for the sea, right? Poseidon. You guys know most of them, right? Poseidon, Zeus, Hades, Apollo. That's why, you know, when Paul went with Barnabas, Iconium or Lystra, they started teaching the word, right? And some of the people tell them, oh, you are Jupiter and you are Mercury, right? And yeah, because they thought they had different gods, but that's what Paul is saying here, basically. That before they relied on these gods, and that they thought that there was a god for a different specific thing, right? So let's keep reading. Verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, right, speaking in tongues, calleth Jesus accursed, right? So, basically, when we speak in tongues, we don't curse no one, right? Nor Jesus. But instead, it says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So basically, right, you confess Jesus as your Lord, right? That's the Decamite. But when you speak in tongues, it's the proof that Jesus did, right, died. And not even that He died, but that God rose Him again. And not only that, but that He ascended in heaven. And not only that, but He's seated in the heavenlies, right? And that He poured the Spirit towards us. You guys understand that? That's why it's important to speak in tongues. Because you testify, like it says, that Jesus is the Lord, right? And Savior, right? 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, is the word charisma, I think, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. This word administrations, I think, is diaconia, which is ministries, right? Like the apostles, teachers, right? But the same Spirit, right? Verse 5. Oh, I read that already, right? Verse 6. Let's read verse 5 again. And there are differences of administrations, diaconia, but the same Lord. 6. And there are diversities of operations, the word energema, operations, but is the same God with which worketh all in all. So, in contrast to this Greek mythology, right, and other spirits, right, that they thought that there was one spirit for every single thing, God is powerful and mighty to work and do all those things, right? So God works in the creation that's in you, which is the Christ, right? And then in you. Let's keep reading. Verse I left off in verse 6, right? Now let's read verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit. That's the second key point that I wanted to mention. So God does not want us to be ignorant, right? And the second one is that you guys have to understand, we have to understand that this, all these manifestations and whatever's listed after this, it's for the profit. For profit, it profits you, right, when you speak in tongues. And it profits the church, your brothers, when you prophesy, right? Yeah, so if all of these manifestations, the fruit of the Spirit, which comes, man, I'm already gone. Okay, this, I gotta hold on again. That comes after. So all of these things are for profit, right? It's for profit. That's the second key, okay? Now we're gonna read what verse 8. Let's keep reading. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of what? Wisdom. That's one. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Right? And 10. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. And the last one, to another, the interpretation of tongues. We got to understand, right, that all of this comes in a package and is given to us, right? For profit, right? Okay, let's keep reading. 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit divided to every man severally as he will. And that's the third point, key point, that it's willingly, right? It's not forcefully. I mean, how to say obligated. You understand? God does not make you do things, right? He puts it in your heart and it's your will to do what He wants you to do, right? So it's, He does not want you ignorant of these things. And the second point, second key is that they're for profit, right? And the third one is willingly, right? You got to do the action, right? God will work in you, but you have to take the step and say, yes, I want to bless the people. Yes, I want to speak in tongues. You understand? And then it tells you afterward how to, right? Okay, so that was verse 11, right? Okay. As He will. Okay. Well, we'll stop there in this, and we'll go to Galatians 5:24. This is something else that we have. And that we have in this package. You guys know where I'm going. And it's really interesting because how many ways of manifesting the Spirit are there? 9. Now let's read how much Spirit, fruit of the Spirit there is here. So Galatians 5:22. You guys there? And it's, sorry, I gotta go in my English. I was gonna read it in the Spanish. Okay, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I'm pretty sure, after Ephesians 3, right? In order to keep this unity, I think it mentions this. It mentions meekness, right? We'll see. Okay, so these are 9 things that we have in this package, right? So there's 9 manifestations and 9 fruit of the Spirit. And there's something cool about numerology, right? Because you know what the number 9 means? It means that it's the end, right? Because after the 9, we got a 2-digit, right? The 10, right? The number 9 means complete, right? That's all. So we have everything. Everything that God could put in a man, you know, in order to do His will, He gave it to us. So there's nothing more for Him to give to us. You understand that? He has given us everything. And we're going to read this in Ephesians when we go in a little bit, okay? That's cool about the number 9, that it's the end. That's everything. He gave you everything. Right? Here. There's much to come. But I mean here, in order to do His will. Okay. Hold on. All right, let's go now to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. in chapter 4. And let's read verse 7 first. Alright, and then we'll go back to 1. It's a weird order, but it's because I want you guys to see how much he gave us. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of who? Christ. So he gave us everything, right? We're full of it. We're full of it. So he is, right? It's beautiful, right? Because he can work in us, right? He's everything. When we talk about manifestations, he. All right, I don't want to go too deep in that. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Let's start there. All right. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called. Verse 2. Right here, with all lowliness and meekness, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. In verse 3, it says endeavoring. And I think, yeah, Bob covered this part, right? That this word endeavoring means to make an effort to keep it, right? It's like in Timothy, which says study the self-approved, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit, in the bond of peace, right? So we have to keep it, right? We don't have to make it. We are already united, right? We just have to what? Keep it. It doesn't say you have to make the unity. We are already. We just have to keep it, right? Because there's an adversary that wants to tear it apart. Remember with Adam? There was one instruction that God gave him with the garden, right? It says to keep it, remember? To keep it, to protect it. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? You want to go? Okay. So it's in Genesis 2 something when it tells them to keep it, to protect it. That's the same thing we have to do with this unity, to keep it. Not make it, but to protect it. Why? God told Adam to keep it because there was an adversary that wanted to destroy them, right? And the same here with this unity. Yeah, there's an adversary that wants to tear us apart, but our job is to keep it, protect it, right? Keep it from that not happening, but to keep it. It's really beautiful. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 4, right? And in the... Oh, no. There's still more. In the spirit, in the bond of peace. And this word bond, I think Bob mentioned it, but I think it's the word ligament. So you got to keep it together. Like your body holds itself together, right? Well, with the nerves and all the ligaments, right? Like that. Verse 4. There is one body. I forgot to mention something. Sorry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all those manifestations and all those are like a body too. They work together. Right? If you can't, God didn't only give you a word of wisdom by itself, right? He gave you the other 8 because they work together. Just like the gift, like the ministries, right? Like the manifestations and like that whole chapter 12. It's an analogy, right? I think it's the word of a body. Puts all those 3 things, believers, manifestations, and the ministries as a body, right? They all work together. You can't separate them, right? You got to keep them together. And that's something you got to understand, because when people start thinking like, oh, we don't have to speak in tongues. Oh, we don't have to do this, right? That's where we get into problems, right? Because God put all those things and they work as a body together, okay? So now let's keep going here. One Lord. Oh, yeah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And oh, no. Chapter 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And from what I studied, that I think this word means actually in us all, not in you all, right? In us. Okay. 7, but I'll read this again. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay. Now let's go to 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I'm almost done, guys. And I like this verse a lot. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of what? Oh, fear. Huh? It says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This spirit that he gave us has power, the capability to power. Power, right? And of love and of a sound mind. All right, let's go to another one. Philippians 2:13. I got two more verses and that's it. Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Why is this possible? How is this possible? He can work in us, right? And that's cool. And now to understand this, let's go to John 14:20. This is another one of my favorite verses. This is the last verse I have. John 14:20. You guys there? And this is a great prophecy, right, of Jesus saying of this new birth, right? You guys there? It says, "And that at that day," when is that day? Let's think about it. "At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father," right? Who's this talking? Jesus, right? If he's saying that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Basically, he was telling this great revelation that what? Later on, you guys don't understand right now maybe, but later on you and many others will understand that you're not alone, right? But that is going to be God and Christ and Christ and every born-again believer in the whole entire world. And that's what the adversary didn't want, right? In Corinthians, it tells us that if the adversary or if any of the devils or princes of this world would know this great hidden mystery, right? Or secret, man. Yeah, the word is secret, not mysterious. It's secret, right? The adversary wouldn't have killed Jesus, right? Because he would rather face one than many of us, right? So this is Jesus telling them that in that day, which probably was Pentecost and after, right? In that day, they will know that he, what? That I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. It's a great connection, right? Because it's God in Christ, and Christ in you. God gave his gift, right? So he works in your spirit, and then he works in the spirit, which teaches your mind. Remember, the creation is in you, which is the Christ in you. Like Colossians 1:27, right? Which is the great mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's why God can work in you, right? Because he gave his gift, which is not of fear, but it's of power, love, and of a sound mind. So you guys and we are all capable to do the will of God, right? We just have to, like Corinthians says, we have to not be ignorant. We have to know that it's for profit, right? And it is willingly. God is not going to force it. We got to do the job because that's what he wants us to do, right? So we all have to stand up and know what we have with power, love, and a sound mind, okay? All right, that's it, guys. God bless you.